Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Barry Jones, college football broadcaster. Catch him on ESPN Radio. He was on the call for Ed Orgeron's sort of last game. Last game is like permanent head coach. Alabama champ. ECS product. He joins us now. Barrett, what's up, man?
What up, guys? How are we doing?
Oh, everything is good here, man. Everything is good here in Memphis. I guess we'll just start with the game that you were on, and we'll work our way around the SEC, and we'll certainly address the debacle that was Tennessee Ole Miss. But what did you make? I mean, like, it feels like that was one of the more unlikely outcomes of this college football season. LSU basically barely had enough players to even field a team, yet they come out and they beat ranked Florida with everything going on around Coach O. How were they able to do that?
You know, it's a great question, and it's honestly, and I don't want to be overdramatic here about a mid-level SEC game that probably, you know, in the grand scheme of SEC play won't have that big of an effect, but it's one of the most unlikely things I've ever seen in my whole career of calling games, and here's what I mean. Like, it's a complete statistical anomaly. So LSU, coming into the game, they averaged 83 yards a game on the ground. They were 127 out of 130. And FBS and running the football. All right, they were absolutely horrendous. You turn on the film, missed assignments everywhere. They're terrible. Just cannot run the ball. I mean, like, comically so, can't run the ball. And then all of a sudden they go up against a, you know, top 20 defense in the entire country, and the running back runs for 287 yards. I can't explain it. I have no idea. They ran the same play 12 different times, just over and over, a counter play that they just kept running. And it was almost like you were watching like something in high school where, you know, the coach is like, hey, run the same play again. They can't stop it. And, like, usually in college that doesn't work out too well. But for some reason in this game, like, Todd Grantham, that defense, they could not stop this counter play. They ran for over, like, 130 yards on this one, you know, one type of play, this counter play. I mean, I know that, like, unless you're an LSU-Florida game, watch the whole game, like, it was bizarre. It really was. It's a true statistical anomaly that I still – cannot even fathom how it happened that you go, because I called them 2 weeks ago and get Auburn, and they ran for like 16 yards.
Yep.
And then they run for 287 yards. So anyway, I won't bore on about that game, but like it was wild. It really was.
Doesn't make any sense.
And now, of course, we know that Ed Orgeron is done. He's going to finish out the season, but he is going to be moving on after the season. We were talking about this yesterday. You sort of just gloss over it, but it's true. You know, last three coaches at LSU won championships, and really only one of those three do we consider a good coach. I think Les Miles' reputation has taken a hit in the last few years, and of course, I don't know if we ever thought Coach O was a good coach. So the point is that the job is set up.
Hater! What a hater!
Not is that hating?
National championship coaches right here.
I know, but I feel like we could all three coaches.
How about like they're not elite coaches or they're not great? I'm not. I mean, they're not a good coach. That's
okay,
just,
fine.
That's a little far.
Fine.
To say
not
they won
fine.
A national championship and you're just saying they're not good.
That's fine. That's fine. That's the ECS in you. You're nitpicking here. No problem.
That's not ECS. I mean, that's just. I mean, I can't say Coach O is not a good. He coached maybe the greatest football team of all time.
Okay.
I mean, I can't say he's not a good coach. Maybe he's not in the conversation for elite, but I mean, anyway, I'm not letting you pass with that.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. We can agree to disagree. I think we can agree that you don't necessarily have to be a great coach. That's fine.
Could
you don't
we win?
Have
at
to
LSU,
be a great
yes.
coach to win championships at LSU. Is that will that do?
Could you get this man right, Jason? I mean, what
great.
This is what you have to deal with all
great.
The time?
Great coach.
Is this what you have to deal with all
so
the
you,
time?
Okay, yeah, so, every, I mean, look, so you walk around here acting like Ed O is a great coach. You don't possibly think that.
I didn't say that. You said he was, quote, not good. I mean, that's just so, a little far to me to say he's not good. He's not a flappy.
Okay, I mean, fair enough, but he did have Joe Brady. A lot of people do attribute, and Joe Burrow. A lot of people do attribute that success to those two gentlemen, fair or not.
Okay. Anyway, I honestly understand your point you're making. I'm just giving you a hard time. Like, I do think that the right coach at LSU, a truly elite coach, especially when you think about the fact that at some point, given you know if all that we know about biology and science and everything that's happened in history, Nick Saban will retire. I mean, there's no signs of it yet, but it has to happen at some point. There will be a power void. And at that point, I do think if someone is positioned there at LSU, I think LSU is a great job, an elite job. I mean, it's all the tools are there. They have the money. They have the facilities. They certainly have the players. No other competition in Louisiana in-state. Obviously, they have a lot of people that come out of state. But, I mean, all those kids grow up wanting to play for LSU. I think it's a great job, and there's really no reason why if you had an elite coach there, you couldn't have a dynasty that would be a few decades long and dominate the SEC for years to come. And I know that's a crazy concept because we're so used to seeing Alabama do that. But I think LSU in a lot of ways is better positioned to do that than even Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director, likes to make big splashes. If you are Woodward, Barrett, who's your first call going to? And then if you get a no there, who's the second call you make in terms of you want to hire a guy, you know you like making big splashes, you're back at your alma mater, so it matters more to you than ever. Who are you calling, Barrett?
It's a great question. I got the same question about USC, and I don't really have great answers yet. I mean, I've heard a lot of Mel Tucker rumors that they're apparently talking to him. He's at Michigan State right now. But I don't think that they're doing this, you know, kind of with the idea that they know who their guy is, honestly. I really don't. I think they know that this is not it. That, you know, they have been kind of mediocre since 2019. I think they're something like 9-9 since then. And so, obviously, they want an elite program. They want, you know, 10, 11 wins a year. And I think at LSU, there's no reason you can't accomplish that. I don't know who the guy is. I don't have a great list yet at either one of those schools. I don't think there's just a bunch of obvious candidates. I will say, I think there's probably a lot more talent that hasn't been promoted on the defensive side of the football than has on the offense. Anyone who has any connection to any good offensive scheme, it feels like, has been given a head coaching job. At some point, I think they're going to realize that, hey, a lot of the great coaches throughout history did come from the defensive side of the ball. I think there's some good guys over there that haven't gotten head coaching jobs that could. We'll see what happens. We'll see who those guys are. And as they emerge, obviously we still have lots of time left in the season. But I really don't have any. I mean, obviously I can tell you the obvious names you're hearing. You hear James Franklin, you hear Luke Fickell about every job. But I'm not necessarily sold that either one of those guys is transcendent. So sure. I don't know.
What about Kiffin? Would it work? Would it be a good hire for LSU if you could pull it off?
Man, Kiffin is he's a fun roller coaster, isn't he?
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think that anyone who watched that Tennessee game, like, Lane Kiffin is not the kind of guy that most people, like, you know, feel sorry for. Tennessee somehow made Lane Kiffin, like, you almost felt bad for him. You're like, oh, sweet Lane Kiffin is getting a golf ball thrown at him. You know, it was kind of funny as I was sitting there thinking, like, oh my goodness, all these people are feeling bad for Lane Kiffin. And you know, if you follow Lane Kiffin, like, he was loving that.
Oh, I mean, yes.
He was absolutely threw the visor
through
in the stands at the end.
Yes.
He caught the water bottle.
Yes.
Like, he embraced that moment and knew that and loved that they were hating on him. So, you know, I don't know. I think he's in a great fit right now for where he is at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Would he work at LSU? Look, I don't know. I mean, I would have said no a year ago. I will say it sure seems like he's really improved as a coach. I do think that in a lot of ways he's matured. He's said that and gotten better. So, you know, again, I think he's still kind of figuring out some of the, you know, the head coaching stuff. He's an excellent play caller. But as far as the head coaching part and the leadership part, he's still kind of fine-tuning that. And would LSU be a good fit? I don't know, but it'd be a heck of a ride. It'd be a wild ride. It seems like anywhere he goes, there's a wild ride that follows. And Ole Miss, you talk to any, they love that. They love the wild ride, and I think he can stay at that place the rest of his career.
You know, in terms of that scene on Saturday night, right, you know, I think everybody sort of around the country agrees that it was shameful the way that was going down. Have you ever played in a game where you were struck by a water bottle or a mustard bottle or whatever the hell else?
No, I have not. I've never been struck by an
object. That's because you kept it classy, right? You were a great sportsman.
Home training.
I will say I do have one memory of this, and I might have told this in the show before, but when 2008, Alabama's first trip back to LSU, we did have a situation where we were in our buses, and our buses got surrounded by LSU fans, and they started shaking our buses back and forth. And there was like a Nick Saban doll that was on a noose, and then like someone lit it on fire.
Wow.
And so that was probably as close as like I ever got to seeing, but I mean, obviously I was not physically harmed. I was honestly like, wow, this is kind of awesome. Then they let us go and, you know, we went in and we won the game in overtime. So that was fun too. But that's the closest I've ever been to having anything thrown at me.
We saw, you know, there are some people who, you know, I guess maybe doubted Nick Saban after a loss, but he came out and he made pretty light work, and that Alabama team made pretty light work of Mississippi State. I don't know how many L's you took in your career. Did you? I mean, I can't imagine there were many. But what was it like? I think the average citizen probably has this view of, you know, Nick Saban just tearing stuff off the wall. And is it like that, or what is it? If you can share, maybe you don't want to reveal such intricate information. But what is it like after a loss with Nick Saban?
Oh yeah, I'm a member of the media now, so I mean, I'll sell anything down the river, you know, that will
absolutely
advance my career.
You've adapted very well.
That's how it works. I mean, it's actually really surprising. It's a great question. It's probably in a lot of ways exactly the opposite you'd expect. So I would say Nick Saban is half coach, half psychologist. I mean, he understands what the team needs to hear, not necessarily what just his emotions, you know, want to say to him. And so I would imagine that after that Texas A&M game, based on every loss that I was ever a part of, that's usually actually when he's maybe his most encouraging, because you're in there and you know you messed up. Obviously, you lost the game. You know, I mean, like, it's obvious, hey, there's in this sport, we keep score. The score, we had less points than the other team. That means we did something wrong. And so, you know, usually everybody's pretty down. They're pretty dejected. And that's actually the time where he comes in and encourages guys and said, hey, there's a lot we can still accomplish. Now, obviously, we've got a lot of things we need to clean up. Let's go in here on Monday. Let's get to work and let's figure out how to do it. And, you know, when guys are focused and they're locked in on doing that, he understands that maybe that's not the time to just, you know, beat a dead horse, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. And, you know, he does a really good job of that. The times he actually gets the most mad are probably a win or we don't play very well. And that's when we're excited because we won the game. And he's like, hey, y'all shouldn't be excited right now because y'all didn't play very well. And y'all need to wake up and understand that if you keep playing like this, you're going to be beat. So I think it's in a lot of ways the opposite of what you expect a lot of times are his reactions.
You think Cincinnati's going to hang around and get a shot at this thing by the time it's all said and done, Barrett? Or you think with what's working around it, we'll be looking at all Power 5 teams and that thing?
I've been beating the drum. That's wrong because I'm great with Cincinnati getting a chance. I've said publicly so many times, so I have to stay to my word, that I do not think there will ever be a non-Power 5 team that makes the playoff. This is going to test it for sure.
Yep.
It's going to test it. Now, I think there's still lots of paths for Cincinnati not to get in.
I think, right.
You know, the most obvious path right now would be if Alabama beats Georgia, you have two SEC teams.
Yep.
I think Oklahoma still has a great shot to get in, and whoever your Big Ten champ is will almost certainly get in. That, in my opinion, would leave Cincinnati out. So I think they still need some more stuff to happen. But I do think it's possible this year. There's been chaos. They're going to need that chaos to continue, though, if they want a shot to get in, because their schedule to this point out is pretty simple.
Real quick, Barrett, what do you sort of make of the quarterback situation at Oklahoma? You know, it is amazing. Maybe it's in some ways similar to Tua / Jalen, right? The way that Nick Saban made that change basically at the half, and it was, you know, it was fortuitous. Oklahoma is going with Spencer Rattler, and the offense is nowhere near as dynamic. They put the young guy in, the freshman, and he seems like he's changed the season. What do you make of sort of that situation in Oklahoma?
That's wild. It really is. I mean, it's crazy how, you know, I think this is the year for any analyst that thinks they actually know anything, they realize that they know nothing. I know. I mean, like, before the year, everyone was saying, oh, wow, Spencer Rattler, like, Heisman favorite, going to be a top five pick, and now he gets benched. I mean, that's kind of a nutshell of the year it's been in college football. There's been so many things that have happened that you just didn't see coming. And so Spencer Rattler, I call one of his games earlier this year, immensely talented. But I talked to a lot of the coaches on the sidelines, and they say, look, we're a little disappointed that this guy hasn't gotten better, essentially. That's not what they said directly, but that was the sentiment of just saying,
yep,
he's got a lot of issues, a lot of problems. He hasn't cleaned up his footwork. He hasn't really improved on some of the things we want him to improve on. And we really want him to take the next step. And they didn't see it in the offseason. And so that obviously came to light a few weeks later that, you know, he ultimately didn't get better and got passed up by another guy. Now, you know, Caleb Williams, now teams are going to have a chance to kind of look at him, start to game plan, scheme against him, figure out what he does well. And as he meets the meat of the schedule, we'll just have to see how that goes. It's a whole different ball game, you know, to come in a big game versus starting one and having a team that prepares for you all week. Obviously, he started this past week, but as he continues to start and they learn more about him, you know, that we'll kind of figure out who he is. And I expect to see some growing pains there. But there's a lot of talent, and that Oklahoma defense is a lot better than they have been in the past. So I still think that's a team that can be dangerous, mm-hmm. but they got to keep developing and growing.
Bear, you're the man.
Love your stuff, brother.
Appreciate the time, as
Thank
always.
You.
All right. Well, I guess if Ed Orgeron is not good coach, then I'm certainly a not good guest. So thanks for having me on, guys.
I disagree. I think you're elite. Thank you, Barrett.
Pleasure
Appreciate
having you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.